So this morning, what a blessing to be with you. Even though we are still at a distance in electronic format. And today we have this interesting set of readings, the Gospel and the Old Testament matching up really nicely. And as I was pondering them, I was pondering the theme of dancing, or not just the theme of dancing, but my experience of dancing. When I was growing up, dancing was that you went to the school dance and there was all this music. And now some of you might be a little older and you might remember it differently, but dancing was that they played this music and you were supposed to go out on the dance floor and sort of jump around and, you know, make it up as you went along, doing your own thing. And that was dancing. However, quite a number of years ago now, when I was living in Brampton at the Parish of the Holy Family, we had a Palestinian family in our midst, and we were invited once to an event where it was this extended family and many others from the Palestinian community. And after we'd had this meal in this big hall, it was in a community hall, we had this big feast. And then afterwards, they put on music and they said, let's get up and let's dance. So they come up and get up and dance. And except that in this situation, the dance was very, very different. The dance was, I guess we would probably call it a round dance. I don't know that they would have used that terminology. But the dance happened by everybody in a huge, big circle, putting their arms on the shoulders of the people on either side of them. And then there was this sort of dance step that you did as the circle went around, and it went forward one way and then went back the other way. And everybody, you know, learned. And as the music was going on, everybody joined in this dance, learning the steps and going around in the circle. And the beautiful thing about it, of course, was that there was this enormous sense of, yes, we were dancing, but we were dancing in common. And it was this beautiful expression of being bound together in unity. Well, I was pondering that as I was thinking about our readings, because in fact, today we have two readings that are about dancing, or at least that they have dancing in them. The dancing in the first one, of course, is the story of the finding of the ark in the fields, and King David having it brought into Jerusalem, where it's going to be put in the a tent that he has put in place, a tabernacle, if you will, a place for it to live. And as it's brought into Jerusalem, the story tells us that David dances before the Lord. He's in the procession, he's dancing away, whether he's leading or following, he's dancing before the Lord. And he is quite clearly making something of a spectacle of himself in a way, I'm pretty sure that there's certain parts of the story that we had kind of missed out, but the implication is that he was wearing a linen ephod and that was about it. And so it might have been a little bit unseemly in our modern standards, but he was essentially acting in an extraordinarily undignified way for a king. He was dancing because he was expressing his worship and his honor and his joy before God. And the story tells us, interestingly, that his wife, Michal, is watching from her window and not involved in the dance and welcoming the tabernacle of the Lord, but welcoming the ark. And she looks out and she sees him behaving in this way in a very unkingly fashion, and she despises him. She despises him. The other story with dancing, of course, is the gospel reading that we just heard. And that is the story of the beheading of John the Baptist. And the stories could not be more dissimilar. In this story, we have John the Baptist, who has been imprisoned, and Herod, who does not want to kill him because he's afraid of him, largely. He's afraid of him, and he's also... We hear in Luke's version that he liked to hear John the Baptist preach because he could sense that there was something there, that there was maybe that God was speaking through him, perhaps. But he was afraid of him. He was afraid, perhaps the fear of the Lord. However, Herod's wife has no such fear, and she wants him gone. And so the story narrates the feast, the big party that Herod has thrown, and Herod's daughter with Herodias, it seems. The stories are a little bit different in Mark and Luke, is brought out, and she dances before Herod. And now in this case, this is a different sort of dance. This isn't a dance before the Lord. This is a dance before King Herod, the earthly power. And she dances to please him. And she succeeds, pleases him so much that he makes a promise to give her whatever she wants. And so, of course, she goes off, tells her mother. Her mother says, head of John the Baptist. And then we have this interesting thing. It says that Herod didn't want to kill John the Baptist, but he made oaths before the gathered community. So keeping his word meant that he had to go and kill the holy man who he fears, because he actually thinks he probably is a prophet. But he does it anyway. He kills the prophet, the man of God, because of his own oaths, because he is a king and he cannot lose face in the sight of everyone else. Well, you can see pretty obviously that an amazing contrast between these two stories. In the one, King David lays aside his kingly dignity in order to dance with joy before God, to welcome the presence of God in his midst. In the other, King Herod, watching the dancing of his daughter, she dances to please him, clings to his own dignity and kills the prophet, and in a sense turns his back on God. Well, I'm sure we've all heard people say things like, you know, so-and-so marches to the beat of their own drum. You know, people were using expressions like, you know, they dance to a different tune, those kinds of expressions. And it raises a very interesting question for us as we listen to these things. Yes, there's things going on here that are part of the big story of the gospel. For David, who welcomes the presence of the Lord, God promises him nonetheless. He gets a beautiful gift from God for his faithfulness, and that is the promise that his house will be a royal house forever, which is fulfilled ultimately in Jesus. And on the other hand, of course, we have the story of Herod, whose line ends in unfaithfulness. But in a certain sense, each of them is dancing to a tune. Herod is dancing to the tune of his own power, his own wishes, his own desire. David is dancing to God's tune, to the music of God that leads him in worship and praise, and leads him to be a king who is after God's own heart. So the question for us today is, what tune do we dance to? What is the tune that we dance to? My experience, and I suspect it's not that much different from everybody else, my experience is that in this world, there's a lot of music being played. There's a lot of tunes being played. There's the tune of consumerism. Go out and get the things you want. You notice that all advertising has a jingle. That's because they want you to dance to their tune. Just saying. So they have a tune that they want you to dance to, and that is buy our stuff because your life will be better for it. But there's also the tunes that are sung by, well, let's say political parties who are saying that if you vote for us, then all will be well and the world will be a better place, or at least our country will be a better place. And there's the tune of celebrity. The music that plays so often as we hear of the stories of famous people who because of their celebrity seem to be able to speak and have everybody listen. And sometimes they do some good, but basically it's about the siren call of celebrity, of having everybody look up to you. Not far from King Herod on that one, for sure. Well, all of these tunes are being played in life. All this music is being played in life. The call for Christians is to not be distracted by all those tunes, all that music, but rather to learn to listen for the tune that God is playing. Listen for the music of the one who made us. There's an ancient way of thinking about the universe as a place that God sang into being, that there's God speaks, and it is, but there's a sense of the music of the spirit of the spheres, the music and the dance of all of creation. And humanity and our brokenness and our sinfulness tends to dance out of rhythm and out of the tune. But God in Jesus Christ sings the tune anew for us, and we are called into God's dance to become more fully again what God intended us to be. And that's actually what we're hearing when we hear that beautiful reading that we had this morning from Jemima. Thank you, Jemima, from Ephesians, which talks about how God has called us in Christ and has revealed his will to us in Jesus and has poured out upon us this marvelous grace so that the wisdom of God can dwell in us. It's a beautiful hymn declaring the good news of the gospel, what God has done in Jesus. And it's singing, if you will, the tune of the gospel, singing the tune of God's love and God's grace, and calling us back into a life that is shaped and lived by the will and the movement of God, by the power of God's Spirit. And so today, here's a thing for you. Think about the music that you hear. I don't mean literally now, right? All the tunes that are being played, the themes that are being put before you, and all of the invitations that are being made about come and do this, come and do that, spend your time this way, do things in that way, see it in this way. How can we turn our minds and hearts so that we, in fact, dance to God's tune? That, in fact, we dance in a way that binds us together like those Palestinians, arm on arm, doing that to the tune and the rhythm of God's song. How do we find our bond together in community by the power of God's Spirit drawing us deeper into this dance step? Well, of course, we do it by joining in this celebration today, in our worship together. We do it when we read our scriptures and when we pray, when we join in fellowship as Christians, because we are fellow Christians believing in our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so I invite you today to join in the dance, not in the dance of Herod, not one that is all about our own dignity and our own way and our own power, but the dance of David, where he lays aside all of even what he's been given in order to express his joy and his delight and his surrender to the one who made him and the one who saves him and the one who calls him to himself. May God give us a spirit of wisdom and strength and steadfastness to hear that music and dance in God's way. Amen.